After 5 years and 6 seasons, the NBC show Superstore has come to an end. The under-the-radar gem followed a zany group of employees at a Walmart-like store called Cloud Nine, and it was known for its representation of race and working-class people. Here's a clip.
You say nine, Cloud Nine, nine. Cloud Nine. When I say team, you say work, team,
work,
team.
Work.
Are we Cloud One?
No.
Are we Cloud Two?
No.
Are we Cloud Three?
No.
Are we Cloud Five?
This chant seems a little on the long side.
It gets longer every year.
When I first started here, we would just put our hands in the middle and go, yay.
NPR TV critic Eric Deggans is here to talk more about it. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, so Superstore had a Latina lead, America Ferrera, for most of its run. What has the show done well in terms of accurate portrayals of working class people and people of color?
I always thought this was a cute comedy that very slyly talked about a lot of things that were going on in American society that needed to be talked about. So, you know, one of the characters was an undocumented immigrant who, once they realized he was undocumented, they had to figure out, like, how do we keep him employed at this store, you know, so that he can stay in the country. The storyline of the series finale is that the corporation that owns this Walmart-like store is going to close most of its retail outlets and probably going to close the one that all these characters work at. And they all have to figure out, like, what are we going to do now that this thing is going away? And, you know, they reflected the pandemic. The pandemic is happening in their fictional world. So it was just a way of sort of having a workplace comedy that talks about the kinds of jobs that you don't often see in sitcoms. You know, sitcoms are a lot of times are aspirational. And so the jobs that people have are often white collar. They're often middle class. They're often set in offices where, you know, people are gathered around a water cooler or something. This is a job where it's the service industry, and they're dealing with people who come into a store all the time, and they're worried about overtime, and they're worried about whether they're going to make assistant manager or not. You know, things that working class people go through.
5 years is a long time for a show like this. What other shows are following in its footsteps without really trying too hard to come off as performative?
Well, you know, I think that's the problem. Like, what other shows out there are talking about this kind of stuff, especially on broadcast television? I think that's the challenge. You know, we've had a really weird year in a lot of different ways, but the broadcast TV industry just took a really huge hit thanks to COVID. The lockdown started happening right when the TV networks were going to start filming pilot episodes to figure out which new shows they were going to bring to the air in September of 2020. And it made it tough for broadcast networks to develop new programming. And so I think the new programming that we've seen over the past year from the broadcast networks has been we've seen a lot less of it, and it's been at a lower quality because they just have not quite gotten the engine restarted.
Well, something else I want to ask you about regarding the industry. Disney is slated to release Black Widow and Cruella on Disney Plus the same day the films are released in theaters. Even if media companies have a commitment to theaters, is the pandemic forcing them to make streaming a bigger part of their release plans? I mean, what does this mean for the future of the theater business?
Yeah, you know, and I think I've said this before. I feel like the pandemic has just accelerated trends in media that we already saw happening beforehand. So there was already this sense that the future of the media business might be in streaming, and that these big media companies like Disney and Warner Media would be shifting internal resources to make more product for their streaming platforms. And the pandemic just accelerated that because so many people stuck at home and so many people turning for entertainment to streaming platforms, there was a greater need to beef up those streaming platforms. And I also think that it revealed that the streaming services that do best are the streaming services that have a huge library, right? Netflix did well because it had a huge library and a huge subscriber base. Disney Plus did well because it debuted with a huge library that cuts across all the media platforms that Disney owns. And now you're seeing, for example, Paramount Plus, which is owned by ViacomCBS, they're talking about investing billions of dollars to increase the amount of content that they have on their service. And, you know, all these streaming services are now trying to figure out how to compete. It's almost like an arms race for content. And even once we get to the point where a lot of people are vaccinated and it feels like the world is returning to normal, I'm not sure that sitting in an enclosed space with a bunch of other people that you don't know is going to be something that's high on anybody's list to do, you know? So I think that's the challenge that movie theaters face, is that the pandemic has kind of removed movie theaters from a lot of people's entertainment equation for long enough that there may be a huge percentage of the audience that just decides, you know, I don't need to do that anymore.
Never
I don't need
back.
To have that in my life mm-hmm. anymore.
As always, thank you so much, Eric.
All right. Thank you.
That's NPR TV critic Eric Deggans.